okay. This is nonsense. You say, I need to see it, to believe it. Is that right? But yet you can accept what? And here's where the trick comes. I want to share something with you. I used to fall into the same kind of crap myself. Until one day I thought about it. And I realized, you know what? I'm just an old country boy, you know? And when I go to town, these city slickers can put stuff on me real quick. Every time. But they shouldn't be able to do it to you twice. Our prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, the sign of a believer is he never gets bit, snamed, snake hole twice. So don't, okay, you've been bit once, but don't fall for it again. And here's how they use it. They'll come at you with things you don't understand. I was telling brother earlier about this. When I was a kid back in the 40s, I remember that anybody came to town and he was a traveler. Wow, whatever he said. Oh, my, step back. This man been to New York. Oh, that lady's been to France. Oh, my God. Whatever they tell you, got to be right. Somebody been to France. They said, mercy, buttercups. And we said, oh, did you hear that? Ah, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. This person must have big knowledge today. A guy walked in with a three-piece suit and a briefcase, slide presentation. He's an expert. Oh, and what will they use? Something they'll use. Something you can't deal with. Something you don't understand. Time and space. If somebody told you 10 minutes ago a butterfly was on top of my head, you'd say, get out of here. That's stupid. Ain't no butterfly in this room. It's a fool. But if he told you 10 million years ago, when you fall from a butterfly, oh, really? Excuse me. Where's the difference? Where's the difference? You have no proof. You just accepted it. Why? Speak. How many 4.5 million years ago on the earth when Australopithecus was walking? Can you imagine? He couldn't even say that word. He was walking along and he saw Neanderthal and he go, hey, Neil, how's it going? Excuse me. I'm not buying that. You're not buying that. Not really. You're going, oh, that doesn't sound too logical. The other thing is distance. Just 50 years ago. Hello. I know you're not old enough to know that. Anybody? Me only, okay. 50 years ago, they were telling us all kind of weird stuff about what the moon was made out of. Do you know that? Yes, sir. There were still some people saying it could be made out of green cheese. You don't believe that, do you? I was there, man. There were people saying that. Of course, the scientists said, no, we actually know that it's made from one igneous rock, which has had a severe, and they go into this long day going, what the heck? But if you use big words and big numbers, wow, it's a good thing an old country boy like me got to meet a big city slicker like you today. There's a problem with all this, by the way. You know what the problem is? You're smart enough to know that you're sitting here. You're smart enough to know you can create yourself. And you're smart enough to know that you're never here forever. Something's going to happen to you. Then what? I submit to you the following. That day will come sooner than you think. And when you're standing there, you're going to say, oh, God. And I'm talking about atheists going to be there too. Yeah. They're going to be saying, oh, my God. And I thought you didn't believe. Think about this. If you saw an atheist out of an airplane, you'd still say the same thing everybody else said. Oh, God! Why did you say that? Why didn't you say, oh, God, me! I'm not blaming you. It's not your fault. You've been programmed by people that have an agenda. Their agenda, as I already mentioned in the lecture, is very clear. They want people to submit to materialism rather than God's law. We'll continue. I'll take another question. Maybe you didn't like the way I answered that one. Thank you. Like the next one. You're welcome. You tell me. kurban ise. Then is it wrong to ask for a proof for God? No, it is not. Isn't it natural for me to look for a reason behind everything and just believe in Him? Absolutely. Ask for proof. Because I did. After staying with the Bible and Christianity to a point, I gave completely up. I left it. And then I came back blind. I said, I know I have zero proof, but I got a feeling, and I'll just go off my feelings. And I preach Christianity by feelings. After being a Christian, learning nothing, and then preaching by feelings. Still, when I left, and this study's not the next day I came to this land, that's going to happen tomorrow, inshallah, in another program. But, for sure, when I saw the proofs of Islam, and there are proofs, then I had to say, proofs, I was going the wrong way. But it's not too late. If you're sitting here tonight, or somebody watching this tape, it's not too late. It's not too late. You can do what I said earlier. Just say, God, got it, me. If there's no God, what did you lose? Nothing. But if there is, then who else but Him could guide you? Right? That would be proof, wouldn't it? Because nobody would know what you said except you. And you say, God, if you're even there, and this is my exact words, God, if you're even there, guide me. And within seconds, the proof changed. And it came in a way that nobody else could have said or explained it, and I cannot even try to put it into words. I've tried, people don't understand what I'm talking about. But it worked. Because something convinced me from that person. But I'm not going to ask you to accept that, because that would be skeptical, right? You can't accept that. If I accept that, I have to accept every Christian that came down and fight and hollering out, Jesus saved me. What do you, I have a personal relationship. What am I destroying him? And he told me, okay. What's that? Can't prove it. But we do have a proof. A number of proofs. Let's see. What's that? Oh. Ah. There it is. This is the written called Kitab or book. This is the written Arabic of the Holy Quran. Right here. Small. Little. It's so little I can put it inside there and even lose it. But it's so big, look at the challenge that comes with this book. It says, if it were from other than God, you would find contradictions in it. Contradictions. Okay? 1400 years, we're waiting. Somebody find one. Find one. Find one. And don't even think, well, the Bible doesn't have any contradictions. Go to my website and click on it where it says Bible. I have a picture of my Bible right here. Just click on it. And if we, I only listed a few because I didn't want to waste that much web space. Maybe a few hundred or something like that. Okay? This book makes that challenge. If it's from other than God, you'll find a contradiction in it. And there's not. That's not all. It also says, if you're in doubt about it, then bring a book like it. Go ahead. There it is. Now we're dead. Look at this book. This book right here. It's bigger than this book, right? So it looks like you could bring a book like this, right? Right. I'm going to tell you right now this book, and I read it today. I'm very impressed with this book. And this book right here, I'm very impressed with them. But they have mistakes in them. They have mistakes. Typographical error, construction of paragraphs, the way they format, justification on the pages. It splits it up. They have mistakes. I've been reading this one for 10 years. I haven't found one yet. Not one. And as far as trying to bring a book like it, how many of you ever seen a real accurate translation of the Quran into Urdu or English? I mean, it's exactly the same, with no mistakes. Raise your hand. Hello? We have Muslims here. I said, have you ever seen an exact translation into Urdu? Or an exact translation into English? Or an exact translation into Hindi? Or an exact translation into Bangladesh language? Bengali? Anything? Has anybody ever seen an exact representation representation like it in the Arabic language. Well, then I guess you can't bring a book like it. 1400 years. But it didn't stop with that. Guess what it says? It cuts you some slack. It says bring 10 chapters like it. And there are 10 chapters in the end of the Quran. 114 chapters or surahs in the Quran. And there are 10 at the very, very, very end, starting. Well, let me never get caught up with this. This one, right here, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and that's it. And it's 1, 2, 3, 3 pages and a half, 3.5 pages. That's it. So bring 3.5 pages like it. Because that's 10 books. That's it. And to this day, nobody brought 10 times like it. But wait, there's a blue light special at Kmart today, folks, because you can also, it says, bring 1 chapter light. One! And the smallest one says, I'll let you sit down and see this new light coming. That's it before you read the Quran. Okay, that's it. In a hand in a whole cup of, for some of you would be going on, in a shiny alcohol of cup, bring something like that. Anybody in here know Arabic language? It's your tongue's raging. Did you hear the story I just read? Can somebody make something like it or better than that, yes or no? Have you ever imagined something like that? Have you ever seen anybody try? They can't. If you don't know Arabic, you're going to say, well, I don't get it. That's okay. Don't worry. For those of you that don't get it, eventually you'll get it. You will get it. I'm warning myself, I'm warning all of us, that when somebody makes a challenge, and for 1400 years, excuse me, that's a pretty strong challenge. Let me throw one more little thing out at you, and I want you to think about this. He, the one who wrote this book in the first place, or revealed this book in the first place, he said that he will preserve it. He's the preserver of it, and he will make it easy for you to memorize it, he said. Now, how many of you, Arabic is not your language? Not your language. Not your language. But yet you know the Quran. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Trust me, you hear me talking. Do I sound like Arab? No. I sound like something. I don't sound like no Arab. Right or wrong? So how come I know this book in Arabic language? And I didn't even start till I was over 50 years old. And I didn't know Alif from Ba or Hamza from Ain. That's it, right? Ain. I'm still working on Ain. That's a hard one to do. There, you know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, right, or else wait for the end of the thing, wrong thing. This is not to be rude, though. Yep. So, think about this now, okay? I want you to think. If you're honest, and this is the hardest part for a human being, is to be honest. And you're going to set aside all prejudice, all preconceived notions. And I want to ask you a question about this book. I want you to think about this. Here's a little game. Are you ready? I want you to find me any 10 Buckeye. Who knows what a Buckeye is? You know more? Come on, guys. By the way, I'll share a little story with you if you promise not to tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I'm from Texas, right? Everybody knows I'm very good at walking there. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio. Shh. So I am a Buckeye. I am from this state, originally. But I got out of here as quick as I could. Don't mess with Texas. I had to put my commercial for my home state. I got that done. Now, I'll do it. Speaking of commercials, don't forget to visit techlandtoday.com. A lot of the stuff that I'm talking about are on our website. They really are. And you'll be surprised because I ramble when I talk, but I don't ramble when I write. So go ahead and visit the website and see what you think about it. And please email me and let me know. And seriously, Muslim or non-Muslim, I want you to correspond with me so we can talk about these things. Because I'm going to tell you something before I finish answering this one question. I want to tell you that when I came into Islam, I remember real clear what the man told me that was telling me about Islam. He said, really, I'm not committed to ideology. I'm committed to success. saying, if what you have is better than what I have, I'm ready to change. If you can honestly say that, then you can understand what I'm going to say next. If you can't say that, then just go ahead and go to sleep, because this won't make any difference. Take 10 Buckeyes. Go get 10 people from Ohio that all are the same age. They're all from the same area. So there's no problem on language, idiom, or colloquialism, or anything with language whatsoever. They know everything about each other and their language. And from them, let one of them write down 3 paragraphs on 1 page. Now, 10 people, the one who originated, now must communicate it to the one next to him. Tell him those 3 paragraphs away from the other people, and then let that person try to tell the next person those 3 paragraphs. And let that person tell the next person those 3 paragraphs until they reach the end of the line of the 10 people. Anybody in here plays this game? It's called a telephone. If you've ever played this game, you know what happens at the end. That's why we play games. It's fun. That's right. You do it, and you get it. You start out talking about astronomy. You're talking about planets. You're talking about, and it comes out talking about pizza, popcorn, and Pepsi. By the way, would you like me to teach you how to say that in Arabic? Pizza, popcorn, and Pepsi. They don't have the letter P. Okay. Hey, look. If we can't agree, at least we can have fun, right? Okay, that's it. Can agree to have fun. And I always think you can have a lot more fun over a pizza and a bed. So anyhow, now if you understand what I just said, you can't get 10 people of the same age, same background, same language to pass a message. It's not going to be the same message. How? When I'm reading the Quran, which contains over 6,000 verses in it, and I'm reading it from my memory in the prayer. We pray and we're reading this from memory. I make a tiny mistake. Somebody behind me in the line will correct me. How? And he's not an Arab. He's from Pakistan. How? How can we memorize such a book? Because to preserve the Quran is not to write it down in the paper and put it in the museum. Although we have 3. One in England, one in Istanbul, and one in Tashkent. They're old, 1,400 years old. Yes, they are, and they're all exactly the same as this one right here. As far as the words, they don't contain dots, because that was added later, but the words are the same words. I have a theory, by the way, that the Jews actually copied our idea, and that's when they come out with the Masoretic text, where they started putting their dots and textile into their book in the 9th century. But, you know, who cares? Point is, how can something be transmitted like this? And look at this. A very dear friend of mine named Muhammad Hamzi. He's from Syria, which those of you who know Arabic knew he was from there when I said his name. But this brother, 20-something years old, memorizes half wrong from memory from his teacher. His teacher memorized it from his teacher. And his teacher memorized it from his teacher all the way back, and they have a pedigree. They will tell you, this is who I got it from, this is who he got it from, this is who he got it from. And that pedigree is attached now to Muhammad Hamzi. And when he teaches it to his students, they will say, my teacher, Muhammad Hamzi, taught me, and this is his pedigree, where he got it from. Because this is the way the Quran came. And think about this. Every book on earth written by human beings can have a mistake. This book wasn't written. Hello? You say, wait a minute, you just told us it's in 3 museums. I told you the representation on the paper is in a museum. But the actual memorization of the Quran itself, is here when it's recited, and it's here preserved in the hearts of Muslims. Now I'm going to ask you another question. I want you to think. Think about this. How many Christians do you know who memorized the Bible? memorized in the Old Testament or even the New Testament in any language. How many Jews or Christians, anybody, memorized even the book of Leviticus in the original language? They can't, because they don't know what it is. There's too many different versions. Nobody has memorized the Bible. Yet in this room, and I don't know you guys, I know one person here. So you cannot answer this question. Don't do anything. Sit still. How many in this room have memorized at least one chapter out of the Quran in the original Arabic language? Oh. Oops. That's called proof, folks. Stick your little paper clip in there and play with it, or look around the room and see. Two chapters. Whoa. Two chapters. Three. Oops. Four. Whoa. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Ten. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. I'm Willis from Texas. Slipped out. Zalikos Tabulaikosi. This is the book wherein there is no doubt. Here's another one for you. Just think about it in general, what people think about their religion. How many people who don't believe in God at all like to make jokes about religion? Wow. You heard jokes about religion, right or wrong? Yes. Did you hear jokes about religion? Sir? Did you hear some jokes about religion? You never heard anybody tell any jokes about religion? Or jokes about Darwin? Or jokes about how people came from monkeys? People tell jokes. That's what people do. And be honest, from the Christians, you've heard jokes about the Bible. You've heard jokes about Jesus. You've heard jokes about God. Any Christians heard that right now? No, sir. You heard jokes about it. Okay. Here you go. How many of you ever heard a joke about Allah? Astaghfirullah. Anybody want to tell a joke about the Quran? Anybody hear about a man named Salman Rushdie? In the satanic verses? I highly recommend you don't tell any jokes about the Quran or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Allah. Just in case you didn't know that, that's called a major fuqaha. That's a good way to be about. It's much shorter in some countries to make those kind of jokes. Muslims take this very seriously. And we don't claim to have any big knowledge, by the way. We claim to be pretty ignorant of our religion. But yet, we know a whole lot more about what we got than some people do. And we know the Bible came from God because it says so in the Quran. It tells us very clearly in the Quran that we have to believe that the scriptures that were sent down before are from Allah. Because of the nature of the question, the way I got it, I answered it that way. You stack the question, I'll stack the answer. Somebody said, thought is a ladder, a process, by which we reach a conclusion. If God is infinity wide, he need not think. He who knows all conclusions need not think. He need not hope or fear. When knowledge is perfect, there can be no passion nor emotion. If God is infinite, he does not work. He does not want to start. Do we have a question? He has all, he does not want, does not act. Infinite must go out in eternal comment. Oh, comments. My comment is, that's nice. And I like something from the Quran better. It said, Allah la ilaha illa huwa hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَئُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. That's in chapter 2 of the Quran, verse 255. If you don't have a Quran, you can write to us at islamtoday.com and get one. Tell us which language you want it in. And we'll try our best, you know, to provide you with the language you want. Provide it's not too weird, you know. But we have Turkish, we have English, we have Urdu, we have different Quran. and write this and get a Quran and read it. See what it says. Write this down. Chapter 2, verse 255. Find out what he said. In terms of evolution, what does you say? What do you say about all the bones that have been found in? Well, you acknowledge that there's another species that roamed the earth, an in-between of apes and humans. Again, I recommend before you make statements like this, you read these books, because you're going to find out that all that's been presented has come full circle. And the very scholars of evolution themselves are shooting themselves in the foot, as we say in Texas. They're saying now, we don't have the answer. Because something came along called DNA. And with the DNA, they were able to realize very quickly that it is mathematically impossible to even conceive the formula that it would take to go from a monkey to a human being. Not a missing link. A number which cannot be formulated of missing links between the DNA of a human and the DNA of these apes. Let me share something with you. In the Quran, it tells you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he turned human beings into apes and to swine. How many of you know about that? Do you believe it? He turned humans into pigs and monkeys. Which one do you think is closer to the humans? The monkeys? You're wrong. Not according to DNA, the pig. In 1977, one of my favorite actors, little John Wayne, had a heart put in his, they put a heart in him. You know what animal they took it out of? They didn't take it out of a monkey. Pig. Yeah, that's Hanzir. Pig. So I guess, look over at your barnyard fowl before you look out there in the jungle at the monkey hanging in the tree. No, I don't accept that, because you're trying to come up with what? You're trying to prove something you already want to believe. I already did it once. I'm willing to do it again. You bring me something with substantial proof and I'm ready to go with you. But see, don't tell me you have an idea that someday science is going to have something that's going to do something better than what we got. Instead, show me what you got that's now, today, hello. I recall a couple years back at one of the universities I visited, that one of the questions they asked me afterwards was funny. So funny that everybody laughed except the guy asking the question. Listen to what he said. He said, he's been reading medical journals. Okay? And in the medical journals, he's able to understand that the doctors are saying that it's just a matter of time until we find a solution for every single disease on earth. There will be a cure for every disease on earth. And nobody will ever die anymore. And because people aren't going to die anymore, how will that affect your religion, sir? Now I'm okay, right? I get around, but I got to be fair. I got to answer your question. You need what else? Give me an answer. Without laughing in your face. But everybody else is laughing at me. What do you mean you're not going to die? What kind of conclusion did you get? Like, you're asking me about something about my religion. What about your religion? What about this belief that you have that scientists can solve all the things that lead to death? Even though we know as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent any disease except that he also sent it here. We know this because the Prophet told us that. So there's no disease except there's a cure. We already agree with that part of your dumb question. We agree with that. You didn't have to go read a medical journal. I'm going to tell you, if there's a disease out there, Allah made it a cure for. Okay? Why? Because the Prophet said that. So Allah alayhi wa sallam. Okay? But what about that next part? And because there's a cure for disease, people won't die anymore? I asked him, I said, man, excuse me, did you not ever go around the loop during rush hour time? You don't think people are going to die if they don't have a disease? People don't die from disease, they die from everything in the world. Have you ever heard what happened? I don't know, in Texas, man, every Sunday afternoon you're going to hear about somebody being stabbed to death. Sometimes by his own wife. He said, yeah, but they're going to use body parts there. I said, well, where are you going to get the body parts from? All the people that had to die. Hello? He said, you understand. I said, you're right. I'm glad I don't. This part I'm going to hang up on that. Wait a minute. How would it affect my religion when our religion tells us real clear in here that go to nothing, die with the most. That's it. Every single person, every human being, every soul is going to taste death. So I'll tell you what you do. Prove that one is wrong. Just live forever. For some Christians, I'm not saying all, but some Christians take their Bible literal. They don't realize it's in English. It's been changed. And they say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die, but shall have everlasting life. You can nail him on his statement right now. Does this mean that every preacher that died didn't believe in it? Oops. And I guess, excuse me, don't mean to be rude, but I guess he didn't believe it either, according to you. Because didn't your God die too? No, son, okay, your son or whatever. Didn't he die? Well, did he get to know? Did somebody die on a cross? Well, yeah. Well, then whoever died on a cross didn't believe in that. Because whoever believes in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. Yes or no? Did you say that? Now I'm going to say that's not correct. That's not a good translation. And I know what it meant. It meant if you don't have the right belief, you'll be in hell. But if you have the right belief, you'll go to paradise. That's what they're trying to get across. Somebody just got excited when they did the translation. But I'm going to give you another one, too. Did you notice it said begotten? But some of the translations don't put begotten, but, excuse me, because in the old ancient manuscripts, it doesn't say begotten. It just says son. Oops. And he said begotten. And he said, no, it's begotten. Okay, great. But guess what? According to the Bible and according to the Quran, Jesus wasn't begotten. He wasn't begotten. If you believe that, then you don't believe that there's a miraculous birth. Take your choice. But is there a miraculous birth? Yes. Is he a begotten son? Yes. How? Because the Immaculate Conception means not begotten. Figure it out. But, hey, good news. You can find one other reference in the Bible to a begotten son of God. Yes, sir. And it's not Jesus. And by the way, this verse doesn't say Jesus anywhere in it, nor does the verse after or before it. It just says you have to believe in the begotten Son. So let's go back to Psalms, the Zabur of Daoud, the Psalms of David, and look and see what it says in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. It says that God so well pleased with David, the Psalms of David. He said that hear a decree that I decree, that thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. You are my son, and today I beget you. That's really strange too, isn't it? So if you don't believe in David as the begotten son, you can't go, wait a minute, and now we're getting all messed up. Another little point, I'm sorry, I still have some leftover baggage from Christianity. Another point is the word son in the New Testament, if you look it up in the concordance, and the Strong's Concordance, you'll find reference to the dictionary in the Koine Greek. And this word translates son in English, but the meaning it said is very general. It can mean the relationship of an uncle to his nephew. It can be the relationship of a man to some cousins or relations or people under him, or even a man to his servants, or even a shepherd to his sheep. So if you came to me and said, well, this means the relationship of one who is the servant of Almighty God, I'm going to say, then I have to believe that because that's what my book tells me. Of Dola, the servant to the Almighty God. How many of you in here would accept that Jesus was the Abdullah of Allah? Okay, I guess we believe more in the sonship than some of the other folks. So moving right along. So, let me do give you an answer for this one. Were there any creatures on earth before humans? Yes or no? Were there any other creatures of Allah who had free will that could go out and murder, lie, steal, hurt people, do stuff before humans came? Yes? Yes! Who said yes? You do believe that? Is there any proof? in the Quran many times talks about al-jinn. The jinn were before us. How many of you agree that the jinn were before the humans? Okay, so they existed before us, right? And they committed sin before us, right? So it's impossible that Adam did the original sin, right? Okay, enough for that one. It says, each religion assumes it is the only path that leads to God. But how do we know it's true? It's only a matter of faith and belief. Nobody knows. Oh, well, you didn't want to answer, you just answered it yourself. Okay, can something? Question number two. Can something evolve from something else? I was pointed to a verse by the name after Christ. This is after their last verse. Yep. Yeah, I just wanted to throw the movement. Okay. Let's do this one. If I bring a proof and you don't accept it, then the only logical thing is not to disprove it. You have to show me that's not proof. If you bring a proof and I choose not to accept it, I can only not accept it based on what? This imbalance. Not because of my point. Like, let's say I make a point. I've done this many times in this realm. You can make a point, but then you're wrong, and you have to admit you're wrong. We do that all the time. As Muslims, we make mistakes. Happens all the time. And I said, oh, well, I think, you know, the human being, blah, 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 blah. And he said, no, it doesn't say that. The Quran said so and so. What am I going to do right away? Am I going to argue with the Quran or am I going to go, I made a mistake. I'll take the Quran. And I have to change my opinion. Why? Because the Quran has proof and I don't. It's a theory. You can't do it. I told the false. So what I'm saying is that if you stop and think about it, when people bring you a proof, and you say, no, it doesn't agree with what I want to believe, that means you have a belief. That's your religion. And you're taking it without proof. But if somebody brings you a proof, and I brought several, I told you very clearly, easy way to do it, this book says people will all die. All you have to do to disprove it is just live forever. Don't die. The oldest human on earth today is how old? Anybody want to take a guess? Huh? 120, 135? Well, here 150, 175, 175 going once? 200? Nah, nobody's 200 years old. So that means nobody on earth today could have ever known anything about these religions that we're talking about. In fact, I'll go you a step further. I'm going to tell you, find me somebody on the earth today that ever met Darwin. Go ahead. He died too. Every soul is going to die, it says right here. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells you, anybody who believes Jesus is the begotten Son of God or whatever, you're going to live forever. None of the people believe it, I guess, because they're all dying. I'm giving you a challenge. There's a challenge. Another one, bring a book up. Another one, 10 chapters. Another one, a single child. And at the time it was revealed, there was a person mentioned in here called Abu Lahab. A very clear statement against him going to hell as a disbeliever. That he will never accept this plan. Okay? This is the whole idea. This man never will. He had plenty of time. He knew this surah against him. He hated it so much, his wife even went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with rocks she wanted to throw him at him. Because of this. And she even told his companion, Abu Bakr, brother, my one. She told him, said, your friend is making poetry against my husband and me. He said, he doesn't make poetry. How many of you heard this study before? No? Yeah. Why didn't they just prove the Quran is wrong and just say, okay, we'll take his man, make their shahada, and that would prove his man's wrong? And then they could just say, okay, well, we came into Islam, and over here said we wouldn't be Muslims, so here we are. Looks like it was wrong, but they couldn't. And what about the predictions in the Quran? When it tells you that the Romans have been defeated, circle whom? Chapter 30. They've been defeated by whom? The Persians. We call them Iranians. Had defeated the Romans. But then it tells you, in a few years, they're going to be
victorious back.
Oh yeah. And it happens just like that. How? That's pretty good. The number of prophecies made in the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are so many that I can't even begin to tell you all of them. But I like to catch the catchy ones and throw them out there because it's a lot of fun. Like, for instance, a prophecy is said in the last days, you're going to see the Arabs in the desert who are poor, naked sheep herders, basically the way I'm talking about the Bedouin, of the desert, are going to be competing with each other to build high-rise buildings. Nobody 1400 years ago living in the desert would even want to build a second story on a building. If they had a second story that was open on the top of it, they wouldn't use it for, like, you know, go out there and relax in the evening or something like that. But nobody's going to build a big building, put a hat on it, and that. And then today, in the Arab desert, I just came from them. Go look and see these huge skyscrapers. Huge skyscrapers. One after the other after the other. By the way, most of them are empty. But the guy can't wait to build one across the street to build a bigger. That's a pretty good prophecy. You can say, well, yeah, but hey, they're just doing that to make it come out right. Okay, you're right. How about this one? This is part of a hadith. In the last days, a man's side will speak to him. How many of you heard that one? What does that mean? By the way, where do you carry your pager? Where do you carry your cell phone? Inside, you put it in your pocket. Your vest. You put it in your purse. It's just one thing. Okay? Yeah, right. But you're never, ever, ever going to catch this. Guess what? You can read these books I told you about. But unless this is right, unless the heart is right, it's not going to happen. This is all about your heart, which belongs to your God, and your relationship with Him, not me. If you choose Islam, it's nothing to me. It's not. It's not between you and me. I'll be happy for you. I'll be thrilled for you. But I'll still go down the road tomorrow and go somewhere else. Okay? And whatever happens to you after that, between you and God. We have to focus on something very important, and that is the guidance. It's from God. And if you want God, you have to ask Him for it. I need to close our program out now because it's time for the Muslims to go pray. I've enjoyed my chance to be here with you. And if we have a chance while I'm here for the next couple of days to discuss some of these issues in more detail, I'm happy to do it. But if we discuss it privately, I promise you I won't be so hard on you. Because when you have this many people, I have to be more general, and sometimes I get a little humorous, but it's not to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just to keep us awake and make us think about it. So I ask Allah to guide me and guide us and put all of us on the straight truth. Amen. And if He guides us, then nobody will discuss. So until the next time we get together, I ask for Allah's guidance. Be with you and for all Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you.